Amen and amen. If you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for forgiving us when we fall short and sin, and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain. Thank you for the trials that you give us, the lessons that we learn, the opportunities that we have to share our faith and to grow closer to you. Thank you for giving us opportunities to make you smile as well. We lift up all those that are on our prayer list, especially those we mentioned last night, all the workers and the work and those that help us do the work. And thank you for giving us more work to do. And Father, thank you for bridling my tongue, so that your truth comes forth and you alone are being glorified at all times, not just on Sabbath. And again, to the best of our ability, we all pray that, by the way, not just me, but all of us, we need to have bridled tongues. And again, we pray in the best of our ability, in the name of your Son, our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is part four of that sermon series I'm doing very near the end. Hope I can get a part five out soon, because I'm nowhere near done. There's an awful lot of things that are happening in the world that I didn't cover in my book, People Get Ready. And this is not going to be an addendum to the book. It's just going to be another, like maybe volume two. I don't know. But awful lot is happening out there. Anyway, we left off on last time, and it was number nine was perilous time shall come, and we see all that, and this will be online soon, as soon as I'm done with it. I may put the first four parts online right away, and then as I work on part five and six and seven or whatever, they'll go on as well, because the people need to see what's going on out there, especially those that want to be prepared for what's already started. So anyway, prophecy number 10, disease and famine would be prevalent in our day. In Matthew 24, verse 7, it says that there shall be famines and pestilences, and of course the earthquakes in diverse places. And now we already discussed the prophecy concerning the quakes in part one of this series. So I'm only going to touch on the famines and the disease that prophecy says are going to be prevalent. Now, we have all seen the videos wherein we see starving children in Ethiopia and other distressed nations for decades. You know, when I last watched TV years ago, I can still recall the countless commercials seeking donations for the hungry. You know, one would have thought, with all that money flowing into these nations, American TV alone, you know, the people here that have donated from American TV would have rectified that matter by now, but we have to keep in mind that these are, in fact, the last days where mankind is more apt to seek ways to make himself rich rather than help those in need. You know, just as the false preachers make merchandise of their congregations starving for truth, as per the prophecy found in 2 Peter 2:3, they do the same thing with those starving for food. Even if it means they have to keep the people starving forever, to assure donations keep flowing, They're going to do just that. And since the love of many has waxed cold, as Jesus prophesied they would in Matthew 24:12, making money off the suffering of others will be utilized in these last days. In fact, this is also why we have so many diseases today. The medical profession is no longer concerned with the people as they are with their bottom line when it comes to their profits. They know if they use the natural methods that have been proven to work in many court cases where the AMA lost, healing people will cut their profit margin down drastically. So just as those seeking donations to feed the hungry take most of the money for themselves and only give the starving a smattering of food, the doctors themselves hold back the cure and even arrest the real doctors that actually heal the people to assure their government research grants keep flowing and their profit margin keeps rising in the drug industry. This greed has led to much worse conditions than man could have ever imagined. You can see the devil behind this whole thing. For example, when it comes to famines, according to worldhunger.org, who, by the way, has only the numbers from 2010 and back for some strange reason, there are 19 million people going hungry in developed countries. 37 million people are going hungry in the Near East and North Africa. 53 million more are hungry in Latin America and the Caribbean, of all places. And in sub-Saharan Africa, we have a whopping 239 million people starving. Pretty bad, isn't it? But I say the worst for last, of course. In Asia and the Pacific, we actually see 578 million people starving or severely undernourished as of 2010 statistics. That means as of 3 years ago, and yeah, I say three because 2013 is a week away, 925 million people are starving in the world as of three years ago. And I shudder to think how large that number now is since the global economy has worsened in the last 2 years. I mean, could it be this is why worldhunger.org doesn't post the totals for 2011 or 2012 on their site? Could it be the U.S. drought and other droughts around the world have stressed the resources to feed the hungry and therefore caused the number to grow exponentially? I mean, in any event, this is just the tip of the iceberg. When you do the math, worldhunger.org states with roughly 7 billion people on earth, that 13.1% or almost 1 in 7 are going hungry every day as of 2010 statistics. And I'm sure it's well over a billion starving by now. And by the way, malnutrition also leads to the spread of disease. On that site, that same website where I got these statistics, they also stated the following. And that's in box number 4, if you wanted to read along. It says, undernutrition magnifies the effect of every disease, including measles and malaria. The estimated proportions of deaths in which undernutrition is an underlying cause are roughly similar for diarrhea, which is 61%, malaria 57%, pneumonia 52%, and measles 45%. Imagine dying of measles. But malnutrition, they go on to say, can also be caused by diseases, such as the disease that causes the diarrhea, but by reducing the body's ability to convert food into usable nutrients. So compile this fact with doctors who refuse to cure their patients, who choose rather to create the drugs to allow them to live with their diseases, which, by the way, also has many side effects that create even more disease. It's looking pretty grim out there, but that's even before you add into the mix the unhealthy atmosphere we all breathe daily, or the food additives and the alcohol consumption of billions, smoking or drug use, and a host of other factors that lead to disease. We see something most never thought possible on a planet designed by our Creator God to foster life. It's actually getting to the point where being alive kills you. There are so many different diseases now, they actually had to create new categories to keep track of them. This boggled my mind when I ran across this one. But even here, we see shocking reality I never thought possible. According to the World Health Organization, or WHO, as they're always called on the news, the categories, now these are just the categories for disease, the categories have reached 12,420 in number. And in that number, Most contain dozens of different types or strains associated with each category, and many contain literally hundreds of different types of disease for each individual category as well. You know, I got that figure from 6 years ago in 2007. Why they're behind 6 years sparks yet another concern of mine. Have they gotten so bad that they don't want to post their findings anymore? Yes, I think this is the case. After all, is it not also prophesied in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Truth is, we all know how big government prefers to hide the facts to keep an air of peace and safety active in each of their respective regions. As students of prophecy, we also know this is to be expected, as it was prophesied to be this way. In any event, I did come across a number that I simply cannot contemplate in reality. The best answer generated on wikianswers.com for the amount of diseases in the world today is 10 to the 34th power. That's 10 times 10 times 10 times 10. You know, it just keeps going. You got to keep timesing 10 on top of it. In layman terms, that's a number with 34 zeros after it. In short, yes, this prophecy has been fulfilled in our day, and we are most certainly very near the end right now. One followed by 34 zeros. I thought it was 10 followed by 34 zeros. I think it's 10 followed by 34 zeros because it's 10 to the 34th power, not 1 to the 34th power. Anywho, that doesn't matter. It's still a lot of zeros, even if it was 34 or 33. So anyway, number 11. There would be a cold religious system in denying God's power that forms an image of the beast. Okay? And 2 Timothy 3, verse 5 says, having a, and this is what box is this in? Box 7 in the room. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So, as students of prophecy, again, we know by looking back in history, it was apostasy that eventually caused the earth, or the early church on earth, to see no sin in joining with the civil government in removing those they claim to be outside the faith. As a matter of fact, they're pushing some legislation right now in regards to this, but they put off, when they do this, they always put off an appearance of godliness, while at the same time boldly deny the power of God. Now, according to many scripture, the Holy Spirit is the one to move upon the hearts, to move them to repentance. But the Church of Rome decided God was unable to move people into their church, and so they were moved by Satan to torture and kill as many as they could so as to force even more to bow to Rome in fear. The deception of the enemy of souls was such that some of these men actually believed that they were doing the work of God, but their fruits proved they were denying his power, which, by the way, was already moving the people to repentance that actually caused them to come out of those churches in the first place. I mean, that's pretty ironic when you think about it. So, but Paul the Apostle does prophesy that in our day, the same apostasy will become the norm in the church. He said in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, that there shall come a falling away and that the man of sin be revealed. Anyone with eyes that see can see this biblical truth, and no apostasy, you know, apostasy is in the church in a big way. And it's not just the Roman Catholic Church either. It's all of them, including the SDA Church. And they've admitted this. Every SDA will admit it. And yet they still stay in the church, just like every Catholic will admit it, and they stay in the church. As we also know, this falling away by the church leaders has led them to deny the power of God again so as to seek to the help of the civil government, which in turn moved all the churches influenced by these wicked leaders to create an image of the beast. I speak, of course, of that 501c3 tax ID code brought forth by Lyndon Johnson in 1954, which George W. Bush gave life to in 2006 when he signed into law that all churches with the 501c3 are now considered government agencies with the power to lobby law. I, of course, go into much more detail on this image on my Image of the Beast page, which, by the way, was recently condensed into a short video as well. When mankind's impatience or even his blind eyes miss the movement of God's hand upon the people, he always assumes the right to step up and do that which the Lord already stated in his word as his Spirit's duty upon the heart. I mean, it's just like the atheist, you know, prayed for 30 minutes. Doesn't see the Lord's hand move and figures, oh, I got to do this myself, kind of a thing. But because most of these men on the pulpits have puffed up self-images of themselves, they believe they have the duty to do that which God will do. And just as Rome did in the past, they miss the fact that their actions prove they're the ones that need God to move upon their hearts in the first place. But when they see people outside their churches walking with Christ in ways they cannot understand due to their lack of knowledge, they seek to force them to comply to their version of Christianity, even if it means doing so by force. And history will repeat itself, wherein many will die for the faith. I mean, basic reality is, this has already started. See, a lot of Christians are kind of like in the dark about this one, but as we speak, and this really shocks me when I think about this, because I talk to Christians all the time, and a lot of them, you know, like in the emails and stuff like that, they're not aware that a Christian dies every 5 minutes in the world right now for his or her faith, right now. And just by the Muslims alone, 200,000 are dying every year, by the Muslims alone. And 175,000 of more are tortured, but they survive, actually, every year. And that's, of course, 2010 totals. So to further illustrate this prophecy has come to fruition, look around. And you will see most preachers deny the power of God in every church. Their wicked actions prove they refuse to allow the power of God to exert any influence in their lives. They exhibit no restraint whatsoever on their passions or carnal tendencies. They lie, accuse the brethren, shun Christians with fruits they cannot attain to. They rob the widows for their tithe. And some even have gone so far as to remove Bible verses they deem outdated or not in their creed. When questioned about such sinful acts, some actually claim to be educated in the scriptures in such a way that the common man simply can't understand what they're doing. And so just trust us and forget about it. And we take the Pope as an example. He dresses up in robes and saunters about being photographed with hands folded as if to say he's in constant prayer. But this man is the most evil man on the planet. In fact, he is the prophesied man of sin. We now know this. He is a documented Nazi. I mean, Nazi clothing. I got the pictures, all that stuff on the website. He used to be a Nazi soldier. He was actually the first pope to have ever been served a summons to appear in court for his involvement in helping pedophiles escape justice. And he recently jailed a man that posted evidence online that the Vatican is actually involved in much corruption across the board. And I just got word that he's going to pardon that guy. But that doesn't erase the fact that he threw him in a dungeon for a few months for doing what he should do. Now, just as we saw in the early church wherein Satan moved the men to sin, which eventually moved them to deny the Lord and then kill his people, we can see men of God today are being moved to sin, preparing them to use their civil powers to once again kill God's people. Just to name a few of the more popular men of God that have put off an appearance of godliness only to deny the power thereof, we have, for example, Benny Hinn, who literally steals over $100 million from the sick and suffering each and every year without healing anyone, who was also videotaped offering co-workers drugs from a lit opium pipe, and I got the link on site to that video. And sadly, the man, one of those men that he's, you know, supplying the drugs for, dies in a drug overdose that night. Benny Hinn. Right? And Jimmy Swaggart, of course, was caught with a prostitute. Jim Baker was convicted and sentenced to prison for fraud and conspiracy, but there were other situations that are questionable. Peter Popoff, for example, was exposed for using a hidden earpiece in connection with his wife with a microphone to act as if the Holy Spirit was telling him people's information, and all his wife was doing was reading the cards that they filled out when they came to the seminars. Mike Warnke. I used to like this guy many years ago when I was a Sunday keeper. He used to be a Satanist and he became a Christian preacher, right, with his testimony and stuff like that. He was actually exposed as a fraud and a womanizer. Robert Tilton was caught trashing literally thousands of prayer requests after pocketing the money that they sent. Ted Haggard recently, what was this, last month or 2 months ago or 3 months, I don't know, it was pretty recently, Ted Haggard recently admitted to visiting male prostitutes who supplied him with methamphetamine, no less. These are men of God, by the way. And Todd Bentley, the guy that's covered in tattoos, right? And it looks like he keeps getting new ones. I mean, some of them are pretty brightly colored, which means they're new. Todd Bentley claimed tens of thousands of people were healed, yet not a single one has ever been verified. And he recently stepped down in disgrace. But that false prophet that he follows after that keeps on claiming he's going to do this and do that, and the guy was caught as a false prophet, I can't remember the guy's name, he's actively now spending money to try to get Todd Bentley back into the limelight. So most of these men are still very active in ministry and under the complete control of Satan. As a matter of fact, Jim Baker's back on the TV. I don't know if you know that. I don't have TV, but you can see him on YouTube. And soon, the enemy of souls will use these men, as well as others all around the world, to repeat that which the Vatican did during the Inquisitions. And thanks to their 501c3, they not only have the desire for power and massive riches, they now have the ability to lobby the law so as to assure anyone that comes against their version of the gospel can be killed. All right, the next prophecy, number 12, Noah's flood will be denied. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished." You know, besides the well-documented mass of fossil evidence to prove this fact to almost every soul on earth, there are still those that flatly ignore all this. If you were to place the words Noah's flood myth in any search engine online, you're going to find over 3 million websites talking about the flood in a negative manner as well as a positive manner. For example, Oxford University stated the following on their Oxford reference website in September of 2010. They said this. September 17th, 2010, actually. They said a flood myth or deluge myth is a symbolic narrative in which a great flood is sent by a deity or deities to destroy civilization in an act of divine retribution. Parallels are often drawn between the flood waters of these myths and the primeval waters found in certain creation myths. He's also slamming creation here, by the way, too. I just noticed that. As the flood waters are described as a measure for the cleansing of humanity in preparation for rebirth. Most flood myths also contain a culture hero who strives to ensure this rebirth. You know, Oxford University is considered a well-respected learning institution wherein many of the world's political leaders hail from. But then, those of us that have eyes that see know politicians are actually targeted by Satan directly in today's world so as to better manipulate the truth and draw souls away from it. And I did a sermon back in October of 2009 wherein I not only show historic as well as scientific evidence of Noah's Ark, I also showed pictures of the Ark resting on top of Mount Ararat, just as the Bible stated. There's also a video. I don't know if I have the link on there, but there was a video. I think the guy was Korean. He came in there with his son, and he took a video of inside the Ark. And it's really nice pictures, too. So, but this, this is also why we, with this thing with Noah's Ark and denying it and all this other stuff, we know we got the pictures, okay? We got the videos. We know it's up there, all right? Plus, we got the faith. We know what the Bible says. But this is also why we see unrest in these wars in that region of the world right now. Satan knows the people will be seeking God more resolutely right near the end of time when everything in nature and society starts to boil out of control. So he makes it nearly impossible for anyone to get near this mountain. Still, there have been some very brave souls who have done just that. I recall a decade or so ago wherein a few Christians got pretty close to the site of the Ark when some Muslim soldiers came upon them with their guns blazing. The Lord protected the men, of course, but I'm pretty sure the guns were blazing, but I know they had the guns. But all of these guys came back with from their trip was their stories of how they were terrorized for trying to get near that ark. In any event, they can lie all they like about the truth regarding all this. It won't change the mind of Christians, nor will it prevent our Lord from returning. As a matter of fact, when I started Presence of God Ministry back in 1985, I started as a tract ministry. And we still pass out tracts to this day, of course, but my very first track, I did it on this parchment-looking paper, and it was titled, "And God Said." And when he opened it, I had all these documented facts about Noah's Ark. That was my very first track. And it was a blessing to behold what the Lord allowed me to find in the libraries. I mean, we didn't have internet back then. All we had was library. That's where I got all the facts. But a lot of what I should have done, I didn't put the sources of my findings, but today they're easy enough to find. You know, you got the internet now, so it's very easy to confirm that that track is telling the truth. Okay, prophecy number 13. Seducing spirits will cause an increase in occult activity. All right, and 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." And then Revelation 16:14 says, "For they are the spirits of devils working miracles." Now, not only have we seen the occult influencing the church, and especially Roman Catholicism, which is, you know, numerous pagan doctrines, we see holidays like Halloween, Christmas, and even Easter causing billions to bow to Baal and the occult. And people think that's no big deal, but it eventually leads to all sorts of things. When you when you give the okay to such things that we know for a fact aren't found in Scripture, and many people already know it's pagan in origin, well, then anything's, you know, acceptable. I mean, but still, none of this compares with the Vatican's influence, you know, all the religions over the world. And when it comes to Harry Potter, for example, I mean, just 2 years ago, a Vatican-approved university stated the following, all throughout the mainstream media so as to assure it would get a global audience. The headline reads, "Roman Catholic St. Andrews University stated on," no, I don't know if that's a headline. I think that's just my statement there. But anyway, this is what they say let me delete that out of there. I think that's just me talking there. But anyway, this is the article, a little excerpt from the article. It says, "Theologian Reverend," and I, you know, Reverend, of course, the Bible says, "Reverend, holy is thy name, saith the Lord." So this guy's blaspheming right off the bat, claiming to be a god on earth. But theologian Reverend Dr. Stephen Holmes has claimed Harry Potter should be seen as a Christ-like figure because he promotes biblical values. The acting head of the Divinity of St. Andrews University said some religious commentators have been hasty in their condemnation of the phenomenally successful series. And for think about it, he's calling Harry Potter, who's into the occult, everything from magic potions to the magic wand thing, you know. And it's no wonder that Hollywood would grab a hold of this, because a lot of people don't realize this about Hollywood. The name Hollywood gives it away right there. Because I used to dabble in the occult when I was a teenager, and I know what Hollywood is. It's the wood of the holly tree, right? And ask any witch, if you happen to know any, they'll tell you that their wand that they use has to be made of Hollywood. That's the name for Hollywood, and it has to do with spells, you know. That's why, and you tell me, I mean, I was addicted to movies years ago. They're very addicting. TV, too, is very addicting. And so they do put a spell on people. And by the way, with this university, and it's a theologian from the Vatican, you know, this is a guy that's imprimatured by the Vatican left and right. Many are still going to think that this is just another rebellious Catholic institution rebelling against the Vatican so as to further flame, you know, fan the flames of confusion among their own flock. But if that's the case, notice what the Vatican itself said. And this is from, Osservatore Romano, which is the Vatican publication itself, from the Vatican building. It's stated that the mixture of supernatural suspense and romanticism sets the right balance, making the adventures of the protagonists more credible. The write-up goes on to call this latest entry the best in the series. And this article is titled, "Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince." It is now Vatican approved. You know, prophecy said the occult will increase near the end, and we see here that the prophesied man of sin has placed a seal of approval on the most evil movie known to man so as to catapult demonic activity all across the land. And worse yet, all of this appeals to the children mostly, who, by the way, will be adults in positions of power in as little as 10 years from the date of their statement, which, by the way, was 3 years ago. What many fail to realize until it's actually hitting home is how bad it's truly gotten out there. I mean, have you noticed how many teenagers dress in all black? Or the gothic thing they call them? Did you also notice how every one of the adventure type video games have witchcraft symbols in them and potions and spells within them? You can't buy a video card today without some sort of satanic symbol on it. Even the main files in all video games that carry the backbone of the code is called a daemon. The definition of daemons is they are good or benevolent nature spirits, beings of the same nature as both mortals and gods. They're similar to ghosts. They're chthonic heroes. They are spirit guides, and they are forces of nature or the gods themselves. And I got that from, where's the source here coming? I don't know, classic mythology. I think it's in Wikipedia. Anyway, for another way of seeing how far this is all spreading, the logos on most car manufacturers have occultic symbolisms on them. Even the American dollar bill is filled with these symbols. Or worse yet, the very roads leading to the White House. Look at box number 18 in the chat room. Right? The roads that lead to the White House form the satanic pentagram. In all banks, I mean, look at that. The top is an actual satellite picture, and then on the bottom, it's highlighted to where you can see the pentagram, and then see the Masonic square down the road. The Capitol building itself, if you zoom in there, and I didn't put the Capitol building up, but I got it on the site. It has the bunny head with the stick figure body. That's a symbol for Satan in the Book of Magic. This is our government. And like I was saying, all banks, all churches cover their buildings in the pagan cross, or what we now call the plus sign. This blatant symbol for Baal is placed in plain sight so as to assure they will have riches in this life. It's no different from magic potions that some people use. If you do what Satan wants you to do, you'll get blessed by Satan in this life. But that's it. That's the only heaven you're going to get. At least that's what the devil's telling them. And of course, it's most of these men that get into this go, that's why you see the Masonic Lodge is connected with the pentagram. The Masonic Lodge comes off as some sort of a Christian religion when in fact it's not. It's a spinoff of Catholicism. This is why John Paul I was murdered within 30 days when he saw, because I believe a lot of these men that get into these high positions, like even presidents of the United States, they don't realize until they actually get into the office what they have to do, and if they don't go along with it, then they're going to have to die. John Paul I didn't want the Masons in the White House, and so within 30 days, he was dead. Because the Masons, they come off just like the Catholic prelates, as if they're Christians, so as to destroy Christianity from within. But they don't tell the Masonic people that when they're starting off in their religion. When they get up to about the 32nd degree, then they literally know. They keep testing them for every degree to see how far these people will go. And if they won't go any further, and it's like, say, if a guy does, I'm not going to do that, and they think he's going to pass the test, well, then praise the Lord, you passed the test. And you stay at degree number 7, and you never get to 8. But if you do the evil act, you keep going up. This is how they test and make sure that they can really use the guy or the girl. And then they got the music industry. This is another playing field of the devil that is literally filled with all sorts of occultic symbols. I mean, worse yet, most products you buy at the market have these evil symbols in their logos. And even the SDA Church hides them in plain sight within their church logo as an open sign of loyalty to Satan. And if you don't believe me, for those of you that are listening on the radio and stuff, go to sdaapostasy.org and look at the pictures, evidence and pictures, and you'll find, I can't remember what picture number it is, but look for the logo. You got the globe with the three waves spinning around it. And by the way, the wave in Egyptian hieroglyphics, the wave is the number 6. There's three waves there, 666. But also notice, and then it's got the open book, and then it's got supposedly the cross. But I like the cross. It's upside down. And then we have, teenagers and adults that have, all sorts of symbols on their bodies as jewelry and even lifelong tattoos. And if you're a Christian now with a tattoo and you got it before you're a Christian, not to worry. Now you can use it as a testimony to share with people, But a Christian getting a tattoo, that's not advisable. The Bible says do not, paint the body, don't cut the body, scar the body and stuff like that. But there are people that are scarring them. I mean, look at the stuff they're putting in people's ears now and the bones through the nose kind of thing and the big plates in the lips. And if they're going right back into the jungles. You know, where the paganism and the, like already like the Kundalini, that weird demonic stuff that you see happening in the Pentecostal churches where people faint and they start bouncing around and laughing and all this other stuff. It's all going right back into where the Satan worship started. Back into the temples, the pagan temples. These symbols that we see are in the movies, they're in the sitcoms, on almost every product you buy in the stores. Even the cartoons most children watch today are literally filled with these symbols. I remember the Masters of the Universe many years ago. Every one of their belt buckles was a symbol of witchcraft. Even worse is this. Like in the video games, you know, the spells, the rituals, and the incantations are also flaunted openly in these cartoons as well. I mean, the little kids are looking at the, you know, they play the video games with the spells, like the little Nintendo games or like Harvest Moon or something like that. And, you know, I guess you're doing some kind of farming, but there's also, you know, potions and stuff like that in there. If you really want a shock, put the words occult symbolism in society into any search engine when you get time. You will see that they are found in our own alphabet, the medical industry, local and government offices, corporate bodies, the entertainment industry, of course, municipalities, all educational institutions from kindergarten to college, and this includes so-called Christian colleges, the military, of course, and then, yes, definitely the churches, just to name a few. In short, this prophecy, as well as the other ones I mentioned a few moments ago, have been fulfilled in our day. Hope and pray you're blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day.
When your feet like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say,
please kneel, and if you can, and then, of course, bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with the truth again and giving us this work to do. Father, let the truth that we share cut the hearts of as many as we can possibly share it with. Thank you for watering the seeds we have planted already and giving us many more seeds to plant. Thank you again for forgiving our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. And thank you for giving us a strong zeal in our hearts to be very adamant about our walks. And especially now as we are getting so close to home. The enemy is going to do all he can to make zealousness look like hatred, when in fact it's just truth. We thank you, Father, for blessing everybody on the prayer list, especially those that are lost and those that are being lured away. And we lift up again the workers and their work. And thank you for blessing those that help them do their work and giving us those means by which we can go forward with even more work. We want to take part in a loud cry, Father, and we need the tools to do it. So thank you for giving us those things that we pray for. And to the best of our ability, we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, our Lord, our King, Jesus Christ.